Our scripture today is from the Gospel of Matthew. It's one of the verses appointed to be read during the Advent season. It's sort of a surprising one, I think. So I've never read it before in the Advent season. But I think there's something worth hearing in this time of waiting. So hear now the word of God from Matthew's Gospel, the 11th chapter, after the baby Jesus is all grown up. We read these words. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word to his disciples and said to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In life, timing is often the key. When do you play the draw four card in Uno? Do you drop it on the person on your left or the person on your right? Do you hold it out until it's the very end and you can choose the suit so that you can run out of cards and win the game, or do you hang on to it? When do you buy the new technology, the newest phone or the iPad? Do you wait till the prices come down, or do you get it while it's hot? Then there are, of course, matters of the heart. When is it that you really put your cards on the table and say how you really feel? I always remember Albert Brooks, the newsman in that old movie Broadcast News, who carries a torch in his heart for Holly Hunter, and you can see it in his face. And there's a time where she probably would have responded, but by the moment when he finally puts it out there, it's just too late, and he's crushed. And as a newsman would say, he says, "I buried the lead." Timing is the key. And in Advent, we talk a lot about timing. Specifically, we talk about waiting for Christmas, waiting for Christ to come anew into the world, waiting for the kingdom of God to be fulfilled. John the Baptist has been waiting. He's been talking about the kingdom coming. He's been waiting for the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God, who's going to bring the kingdom of God to the world. "Prepare the way of the Lord," he says. He preaches over and over again. "Repent, for the time of the Lord is at hand." And when John meets Jesus, he thinks it's happened. The Messiah has come. He's sure of it. This is the one I've been waiting for, the one we've all been waiting for. John is the prophet who actually gets to see in his own lifetime the one whom he's been talking about. But now, by the 11th chapter of Matthew, halfway through the gospel, John doesn't sound so sure. He's in prison. You know, he's not the favorite of the king. He went from preaching to meddling in the king's personal affairs. And so he's in jail, but he's following Jesus, online or something. Probably his friends are telling him through the bars of the jail what Jesus has been saying and doing. And John's not so sure. Jesus is spending an awful lot of time with people on the edges of society, on the margins. So he sends a message to Jesus. "Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another?" And you can almost imagine John the Baptist sitting at a poker table with the green visor pulled low over his eyes. And he's committed himself to this hand. He's matched every raise. But the player sitting across from him has now put all of his chips on the table. And John has to decide, am I all in or am I out? And in some ways, that's the question of Christmas. The story of the baby is beautiful, and it's holy, Nearly all babies are beautiful and holy. I mean, the whole thing is admittedly a bit messy, but it's beautiful and holy in its messiness. But who is this baby? That's the question of Christmas. Is Jesus the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? It would have been easier for John, and it'd be easier for us if the answer were perfectly clear, if God would just skywrite messages to us in the sky. I mean, the Wicked Witch did it in The Wizard of Oz, right? You know, surrender, Dorothy. All the Emerald City knew. Why doesn't God just do that? Then we'd know where to put our chips. If we could hear the voice of the angels, feel the beating of the heavenly wings, if God would just speak directly to us, if we could just witness one clearly miraculous event, then it would be easier to say, I'm all in. But if John the Baptist, if what he'd seen and heard still isn't sure, what chance do we have? Are you the one who is to come, Jesus, or should we wait for another? And in our time, waiting has become the clever thing. We can't be sure, so wait. Wait and see. There's no proof, so wait and see. There's sort of a benign reservation. It seems wise. Don't commit until you're sure. Better hang on to your chips until you know you've got a winning hand. In our day, you can say it's almost become unfashionable to believe in God. And some even see belief in God as a character flaw or a sign of weakness. Part of that's our American fascination with the rugged individualist who doesn't depend on any authority. We extend that even to God. Part of it is our misunderstanding of science, which because of some bad religion has been set up in opposition to faith, so that far too many people think that you have to choose between science and faith. You have to choose between evolution and God. You have to choose between being a person who uses their brain or being a person who believes things that we know aren't really true. Part of it is our lack of awareness that the big questions about God, about why bad things happen to good people, about where we come from and where we're going, they weren't invented by our generation, but have been asked by people of faith for centuries. And that in the biblical view, these questions are all part of a living relationship with God. So it seems smarter to wait. Are you the one who is to come? Maybe we should wait. Wait for another. And since we talk about the virtue of waiting in Advent, it seems virtuous to wait and see if there is indeed another cause, another idea, another God to which to commit ourselves. Now, the last thing I would ever advocate is an unthinking acceptance of whatever your religious authority, whether it's your pastor, probably Kathy in this case, your Bible, or the book on your nightstand. I come from the Doubting Thomas school of thought that questions most everything myself. And the Bible itself tells us we're to love God with our minds. And then the Bible goes on to challenge the idea of God within its own pages. But timing is the key. And there comes the time to actually answer that question, whether Jesus is the one. I mean, you can live your whole life waiting. And waiting itself then becomes the answer. But it's not much of an answer. And it's not much of a life to just sit on the fence and intellectually ask seemingly smart questions while your days fritter away. William Sloan Coffin, the preacher, was known to say that while Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living, The truth is, Coffin said, it's the uncommitted life that's not worth living. Some people spend their whole lives examining their lives and not really doing anything worth doing. Not making a difference to anyone or anything. Not really living. Coffin was in the biblical tradition of the prophets who say that we're defined by our commitments. We're defined by what we give our lives to. We're defined by who we give our lives to God, to one another. And in the prophetic tradition, to those whose lives are the toughest, the poor and the lonely and the marginalized, those who have been wounded by life. So John asks his question, and what does Jesus say? Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the deaf hear. The dead are raised. The poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. What Jesus was about in the world was reaching out to those who had been wounded by the world, the blind, the lame, the poor, the deaf, even the dead. And John, if you've been paying attention, Jesus says, here's your answer. That's it, right there. And that's our answer too. That's what Jesus is about in the world. Opening the eyes of people to see the world as it truly is, the incredible gift of it, the wonderful opportunity of it, the powerful responsibility of it. Helping people who have been wounded by life to get up and walk again. Enabling husbands and wives and parents and children and neighbors and nation to actually hear one another. Empowering people to choose a life that's self-enhancing but not self-centered. A life that connects us to one another instead of isolating ourselves from each other. Calling us to justice on behalf of those who've been left behind in the race to success. And there are far too many of those. Even raising the dead. Because too often, we're just sleepwalking our way through our lives. Is Jesus the one? Or should we wait for another? That's the Christmas question, really. What will we do with the baby in the manger now that he's all grown up? You can spend your life waiting. Waiting for another. Waiting for the sure thing. Waiting for proof. But Coffin's right. The uncommitted life is not worth living. The Russian author Dostoevsky, who was himself someone who took the Christian faith seriously with his mind as well as his heart and soul. He said, if someone proved to me that Christ is outside the truth, and that in reality the truth were outside of Christ, then I should prefer to remain with Christ rather than with the truth. He wasn't diminishing by saying that. He wasn't diminishing his own quest for what's true. But rather he was saying how much he believed in the cause that Jesus came to share with us, that Jesus gave his life for. How much he was committed to living a life that helps people walk again and see again, even live again. Advent waiting is not sitting back in your chair, arms folded, waiting to see if Jesus can prove himself or not, waiting to see if maybe something better will come along. Advent waiting is living in expectation, living in trust, living, as one writer said, on tiptoe. Because those are the kind of people by whom the world moves forward, people who are always standing on tiptoe. Timing is everything. Sometimes it's time to wait and see. But sometimes it's time to wait no more. Sometimes it's time to choose. It's time to choose a life of commitment. And really, what more kind of a life could you want than a life that seeks to help make the wounded whole again? A life that sees the world as it really is. A life that says the bottom line is a life of love and hope. The angels came to shepherds in the fields, gave the good news to you as born this day a Savior in the city of Bethlehem, Christ the Lord. And they could have said, fine, and gone right on keeping their sheep. They could have said, we'll wait. But they didn't. They said, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing the Lord has made known to us. Friends, it's the going and the seeing. It's the going and the seeing that we find the one we're waiting for. It's in the going and the seeing that we find the life we're looking for. So this Christmas, wait no more. And let us worship God now with our gifts and with song.